Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless. Today I want to talk to you about what's different this time. What's changed this time? You know, in our this time of year, it's cliche. Everyone makes resolutions. I'll be honest with you. I gave up making resolutions a long time ago because the truth of the matter is nothing really changed. You come to the end of the year, a little bit of guilt, a little, you know, hey, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to exercise more, blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, you come to that same place and you make those resolutions, but you don't really change. You're the same person, you know, that you were then, that you were the year before that made the resolution, that made the year before that, that made the resolution. You're not changed. You're the same exact person at a different point of time, facing the same circumstance, but you're the same person, so the outcome is always the same failure. The resolution in and of itself does not cause change. Because if I remain the same person that I was when I made the resolution before, nothing's changed. Reacting the same way, behaving the same way, doing the same things, and expecting somehow for the results to be different. I've spent my life doing that. God's had to teach me lesson after lesson after lesson over and over again. You think eventually I'd get it. But when you approach the same problem the same way you did before and take the same actions, the result will always be the same. So the question is right now is what's different? What's changed? Last week when I spoke about what I believed God was going to do in this new year and my excitement. And to be honest with you, my excitement feels like it was back in 2013 when we first had our first service. That sense of expectation that God's going to do something great. But what's different now than 2013? What's different now than 2014? What's different now than 2015? For if you approach the year as we've done in the past, how can you expect a different result? What's changed? And so today I want to look at the book of Numbers chapter 14. We're going to look beginning at verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of God, or the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are not, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. And now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. The verses that I just read to you are describing the aftermath of the children of Israel coming up to the promised land the first time. They've been released from Egypt and they've made their way and they've went to Sinai and they've received the law of God and they've seen God work miracles, and God has finally brought them now to the land that he promised Abraham, he promised Jacob, he promised Isaac. Finally, this promised land. But when they get there, as you know the story, they sent in 12 spies. They came back, all but two, had a bad report, said it looks beautiful, but You know, the men are like giants and we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and there is absolutely no way we could possibly take this land, though God had promised it to them. And this is their response to the bad report given by the spies that were not Joshua and Caleb. Their response was, woe is me. Should have went back or stayed in Egypt. Their response summary was a perfect summary of how Israel approached their relationship with God throughout the entire time that they, from the time they were delivered from Egypt until the time that they walked up here to the promised land. Every single time something bad happened, they said, we should go back to Egypt. Every single time when God miraculously delivered them from Egypt through the plagues, and he saw this mighty work of God, when they came to the edge of the Red Sea, they said, Moses, you brought us out here just to kill us, just to die. They whined and complained and said, we should have stayed in Egypt. And even after God split the Red Sea and he took them across, every time they ran into a problem, they'd scream and cry, oh God, you brought us out here to die, Moses. You know, why should have stayed in Egypt? At least there we got good food to eat. Every single time they ran into a problem, every single time they would whine and say, oh, we wish we stayed in Egypt. At least there X happened. We were slaves, but boy, at least we had this. They could only focus on what was directly in front of them without seeing the big picture. They never changed. They continued to be the same. Even after God performed miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in their presence, nothing changed. They stayed the same. So when they got here to the promised land, who would have expected it? No one should have been surprised by their response. Every time they've been faced with adversity to this point, their cry had always been the same. Woe is me. Should have stayed in Egypt. God brought us out here to kill us and our enemies. Blah, 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 blah. Their constant response, every time they reached a particular point or a particular circumstance, was always the same. So when we find them here at the edge of the promised land, it is not surprising to see that it's the same circumstance. But because they had not changed, their response was the same. Now, what I find interesting here is that God lets them have it. He tells them they're going to go wander in the wilderness. He tells them that the whole generation of men are going to die out. He tells them that he is sick of them. Moses intercedes on their behalf again. I mean, it's not a pretty sight. So the people of Israel decide, they make a resolution. They resolved among themselves that they were going to get their fighting men together and they were going to go into the promised land anyways. So even though they had not changed, they resolved in and of themselves to go take the land. So even though they made this resolution to act differently, they and of themselves were the same. And so therefore, even though it appeared that their action to move forward was different, it is actually rooted in the same rebelliousness that had always been there. The rebelliousness which was, God, you always let us down. God, we don't trust you. God, we don't hear you the first time. No faith in him. And so they get to this point and they resolve that they're going to go take the land. And of course, Moses stays back. The Ark of the Covenant stays back. They go to fight the enemy. And the enemy puts a whooping on them and they sends them back packing. So they came to a situation. They made a resolution in of themselves to do something, except it was still based in the same rebelliousness, that same attitude that they had always had. And so guess what? Results were the same. No victory.
But now we come to the second time after 40 years in the wilderness. They're here again. Moses has now been taken by God. He's died and been buried by the hand of God. And Joshua is the official leader of the people. And we look and we see that they're here again, but something's changed. This isn't the same group of people that were here 40 years earlier. These people have now went through the wilderness. They've went through God's character building process. They've seen hardship and they've seen victory. They've seen God provide and they've seen God discipline and chastise. For 40 years, they are walking in circles. And that entire 40-year period, every single one of them knew they were there for one reason. They had been disobedient to God and rebellious towards Him. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, and they all knew why they were there. There was no question about it. And God used that time to change them and prepare them for what was coming. And so today, when we look at our lives and we look at what we face over and over again, we must ask ourselves the question, what's really changed? When I come to the exact same problem that's always thwarted me before, when I come to the exact same circumstances that's always caused me to crawl under my bed and give up before, when I come to the exact same sickness or issues or the people that I have had to face that have caused me to run before, what will I do different? What's changed? Because if something hasn't changed, I will always react the same as I always have. And the response will always be the same. What's changed? I have troubles. There's certain things that when they happen in my life, they're going to put a whooping on me. The devil knows it. I know it. You think because I know it and I can identify it that I'd be more ready for it the next time it happened. But I'm not. So many times the enemy knows how to put things in our lives at the exact right moment because he knows we haven't changed, and so therefore the effect will always be the same. But in order for God to do in your life, in my life, what I believe he wants to do, he's telling us things cannot remain the same. There has to be change. Things cannot remain the same in our personal lives. Things cannot remain the same in the church. Things cannot remain the same in our family. Something has to change. Because if it does not change, 2016 will be the same as 2015, as 2014, as 2013. Because you are the ones that have to change so that when the circumstances come, we react differently and therefore the result is different. Amen. So I can advance forward instead of going backwards. And when you look at the people of Israel and you look at the next time they come to the edge of the promised land, they're different, and there are four things that I want to look at and four things I want you to write down because I believe these four things are for us today. They're for me today. They're for you today. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I believe this year is different, and I believe that there has been change. I'm not the same person today as I was 3 years ago. I've watched people in our congregation change. I've watched circumstances that 3 years ago would have caused someone to run away and quit, stay and fight and hold on with all that's in them. Amen. I've watched people change. And I believe that change is what's going to cause 2016 to be the year of God's favor and blessing and a year of God working in our lives and in the lives of this church to accomplish the mission and the purpose he has for us. Amen. So when you look at the people of Israel, the first thing that had to change was they had a refreshed commitment to God. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1, you'll see that God renewed his covenant with Israel at Moab. The covenant that he had made with them at Sinai, just previous to getting to the promised land the second time, God renews the covenant and adds to it. Basically, God's saying, all right, you've gone through this 40 years of correction. It's time to refocus. It's time to acknowledge that now I am the Lord of Israel, that you are going to serve me and be obedient to me, and I'm going to give you what I promised your forefathers. What you couldn't have 40 years ago, I'm now about to give you. Amen. Now, there's some other things that God goes along with that, which are I'm not going to talk about right now because even
I'll just let you know that God still knew that even after they got over there, eventually they were going to walk away. And he lets them know that. He even gives them a song to sing so that they don't forget that he knew that. But at this time, in Deuteronomy 29, verse 1, God is renewing his commitment to give Israel what he promised their forefathers. And Israel is renewing their commitment to God. The other thing that I find interesting is if you look at Joshua chapter 5. In Joshua chapter 5, God issues a command to Joshua to circumcise all the men. From the time that Israel refused to enter the promised land the first time until now, they did not circumcise. Did you know that? They quit circumcising their men. For 40 years, now circumcision in and of itself was God putting his stamp on the people of Israel, saying, they're different, they belong to me, they're not like everybody else. But for 40 years, a whole generation of people died so that there was not a man left that was circumcised except for Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. All of the other men were not circumcised. So in Joshua chapter 5, God says to them, you need to circumcise these men before you go into the land that I have for you. A renewed commitment and a renewed dedication to God. God was saying, once again, you are my people. And the people, by being obedient, were saying, once again, you are my God. We are separated unto you. There was a renewed commitment to God. That was different this time. They weren't just going to whine and not trust him and not be obedient. But before they ever went to Jericho, God made sure that they renewed their commitment to him and knew that they belonged to him. That's where it starts. Amen. I cannot expect things to be different in 2016 if my relationship with God has been the same of 2015. I cannot expect God to do something new in 2016 if I'm the same guy I was in 2015. I know when Jesus said you can't pour new wine in old wine flasks, he was talking about salvation. You had to be born again. But let me tell you, the principle remains the same. If I stay the same old me, and God's trying to do something new, and he puts the new with the old will reject it, and it'll be useless. So we have to change, and it starts with our relationship with God. It starts with my relationship with God. Amen. Yeah. Rededication to him. You'll see on my iPad here, I changed this to my screensaver, my background, and all my devices, my computer, my phone, my iPad, and all. It's Matthew chapter 6, 33. Seek God first. That is my cry for 2016. I don't want to be the same me. I don't want to be the same old guy who runs and whines and crawls out of the pew the first time adversity happens. I don't want to be the guy that can't walk in faith. I want to be the real person that God wants me to be. I want to change. Amen. But that change can only happen if I and if you seek God first. Amen. No paying lip service to God. I mean seeking God first. A dramatic change on our relationship with him. That's where it all starts. Amen. Seeking him first. Amen. When I seek him first, that's when all the other things will be added unto me. Amen. Seek him first. I can't tell you how many times over the last 20 years I've laid before God and said, God, what's wrong? Why aren't doors opening? And God has said the exact same thing to me every single time. Seek me first. Then it works for a couple of days. And then I go right back to where I was over the last 20 years. That has happened over and over and over and over again. This time something was different though. This time when I saw it, I said, God, I want to be different. I don't want it to be the same. And so that's why I put the reminder up. Every time I pick it up, I know that this year is going to be different. I'm seeking God first. A new commitment to him. To serve him. To have a relationship with him. That is where it all starts. That relationship with God. Amen. Not simply paying lip service, but a real change in who I am. And a refreshed commitment to God
will always lead to a renewed faith in God. Yes. When I recommit myself to God and my relationship with Him, it will result in a fresh and a dedicated relationship that will renew my faith. The renewal of faith always starts in relationship with God. For our faith is dependent upon God, and our faith is dependent upon our relationship with Him. But when I refresh my relationship with God, I have a renewed faith. A faith that believes that God will do what He said He will do. A faith that believes that my God loves me. A faith that believes that my God cares about me. A faith that believes that my God will never let me down. That He has my best interests at heart. A faith that says what God promised, He'll deliver. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. A faith that says, God, I will trust in You no matter what. Amen. In fact, the best definition of faith I ever heard was faith is a confident obedience to God regardless. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations, regardless of people in your life, faith is that confident obedience to God. That means doing what God has placed before you no matter what you see in front of you. That means trusting Him no matter what. But that type of faith requires a relationship with God so that you see Him as more than the cosmic dictator. So that I see Him as a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of grace and a God who cares for me and has His plan and His purpose for me, and that He wants to see me prosper, and that He wants to see me work for Him, and He wants to see me serve Him, and He wants to see whatever I put my hand to succeed. That kind of faith requires a relationship in God. And when I have my relationship with God renewed, my faith can be renewed. And when my faith is renewed, it will cause an adjustment to my attitude. When my faith is renewed, it will cause an adjustment to my attitude, to our attitude. A stronger faith in God cannot help but change the attitude of one's heart from apathy to expectation. When I truly believe that God is for me and not against me, when I truly believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When I truly believe that God loves me. When I truly believe that He will do exceedingly abundant of all that I ask or think. When I truly believe that God is who He says He is. It will change my attitude from apathy to expectation. Because I will no longer live my life in apathy, saying, no, God's out there, but, you know, big whoop-de-doo, He's not a part. But I will now live my life as expectation, saying, God, what are You going to do today? What are You going to do in my life today? How am I going to see Your work today? How all see Your presence manifested today? It changed my life from apathy to expectation because I see my God as one who has a plan and a purpose that He will accomplish in my life. And I'm waiting for Him to open the doors every day. I'm looking for the small opportunities to serve Him. I'm looking for the small opportunities to make an impact for Him. I'm looking for Him in all the small places instead of waiting for Him to wow me. I'm looking for God to just do what God does. Yes. I'm not looking for signs and wonders. I'm looking for a God of love and grace and mercy who gives me the opportunity to serve Him.
Yes.
Faith. A genuine faith. Or remove apathy and replace it with expectation. That is the problem with the church today. It is the problem with me today. Lack of expectation. My golden doodle. Many of you met him. He's quite funny. When we first got him, he was a very active, energetic pup. And even today, he can sometimes get excited, but he's nothing what he used to be. In fact, now, he just lays around all day, much like me, right? He just finds a place and lays down. I was reading this week about golden doodles, and it says a golden doodle is perfect for active families, and it's perfect for lazy families, because he'll do whatever his family wants. So, he came into our family with an expectation of running around and doing all kinds of crazy things, and by year two, he was like, shoot.
What am I doing? Right? He came in with an expectation all these great things were going to happen. He was going to go on walks and blah, 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 blah. Well, after year two, he realized it was all for naught. He just became like one of us. Right? He moves from room to room just to lay down and find another spot. That's all, you know, that's it. Right? He wakes up in the morning not with an expectation, going for a walk. He wakes up in the morning to go for a pee, come in and lay down. His day, he's content with his day because his expectations change. He's content, a dog that is normally wants to be up and running and active and chasing balls and running around the yard and going crazy. Over a period of time, his apathy kicked in because he realized his expectations, he thought they weren't being met, and so he just became what was around him. Mm-hmm. We do that in our Christian lives.
Yes.
We stop expecting God. And we become content from going to pew to church to church to church and find a new place to lay down.
Wow.
When God says, I want you to expect of me where you are at.
Amen.
Wake up in the morning expecting.
Yes.
Live your day expecting. Go to bed at night expecting. And God will do something great.
Amen.
And when you wake up expecting, it will change our whole attitudes and our lives. Because I'm no longer sitting back in apathy saying, God, wow me. I'm now actively living my life in a way that is pleasing to God. Can't wait to see what he's going to do next. Mm-hmm. And be a part of it.
Yeah.
Not just watch. Be involved.
Amen.
No more spectators. Be involved. That's what God wants. Expectation will lead to involvement. But you can't, because you cannot wait to see what God is going to do, and you want to be a part of it. And that adjustment of attitude and flows right into what I was just talking about. A willingness to do what you weren't willing to do before. So many times a church cannot grow. So many times we do not grow in our lives because we're not willing to do certain things. We're not willing to do things that make us uncomfortable. We are not willing to do things that maybe impact things that we like to do in our personal life. We don't want to make sacrifices. But expectation will give us a willingness to do things we were not willing to do before.
Amen.
When I'm waking up every day expecting God to do something great, I will find myself willing to fast more. I will find myself willing to pray more. I will find myself willing to dive into his word more. I will find myself when it's time to stack a chair, I'll stack a chair because I'm waiting to see what God's going to do. When I need something to be done, I'll be there to do it because I'm waiting to see what God's going to do. We've had people come to this church while cleaning was happening and be witness to and ministered to. When people were here just cleaning the church. God is ready and will do great things, but we are the vessel in which he uses. But so many times we do not achieve the purpose God has for us because we have a list of tasks we're willing to do and a list of tasks we're not willing to do.
Amen.
Lord, I'm not going to fast. That's just too much effort. Lord, I'm not going to spend time in prayer with you beyond my 5 minutes at night because it's too much effort. But when we really start expecting, I want to spend time with God in prayer. Because I want to be in tune with him so I can see him work.
Amen.
Because I want to see him work and I want to join him in it.
Yeah.
I don't want to lead the way anymore. I want to follow him. When I follow him, I can join him in what he's doing. And when I join him in what he's doing, that's when something new can happen.
Amen.
I can't lead the way and expect God to do something new. I have to sit back and follow God and then he will do something new. We have to be willing to make the sacrifices we were not willing to make before.
Amen.
But listen, if you have a changed relationship with God, and our faith is renewed, and our attitudes change to that of expectation instead of apathy, the sacrifices will come naturally.
Amen.
Because there'll be an excitement to see what God is going to do.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a lost for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.